This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We thank you so much for the gift of life and health and strength that you have given us. Lord, we confess we have messed up this week by thought or deed. We've done some things we should not have, and yet you saw fit to allow us to see one more day, a day in which we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray, oh God, that a revival would break out in the church house, that it would spill into our homes, our communities, and our nation. Father, we pray for the Faith Fellowship Church. We thank you for the elders, the deacons, all of those who have a hand in pushing this ministry. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and strength to do your bidding. We pray for that person here today that's going through a season of testing, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual. We're grateful that you are a needs-meeting God, and you always stand ready to meet us at the point of our need. We pray that you would come against the enemy who would try to keep this word going forth and finding fertile soil. We rebuke that spirit now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son who died on Calvary's cross that our names might be written in the guest book of heaven. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ and our soon-to-come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I want to invite your attention to Jonah. Read some verses. And I want to look at another chance to straighten up and fly right. That I want to talk about, Book of Jonah. And I'm going to begin reading it, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and then chapter 3, 1 through 5, verse 8 and 10. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, this is what it says. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 8, but let man and beasts be covered with sackcloth, and cry mighty to God, yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Another chance to straighten up and fly right. My Aunt Shirley was an interesting woman. She had colorful language, and I'm not going to share of all what she said, but she rests now with the Lord and greatly missed. But sometimes when she would see me, she would say things like, how you doing, baby cakes? Or she would say, how you doing, kiddo? kind of young. I'm trying to figure all this out, but, you know, I hung with her, you know. But then sometimes she would say, when maybe I wasn't behaving right in some of the others, she said, you need to straighten up and fly right. And while I didn't understand it completely, I knew that her tone of language changed. There was a certain look that she gave me that helped me understand that I better get myself together real soon, because the consequences could be dire. Straighten up and fly right. That's what parents would sometimes tell their misbehaving children. It suggested that you needed to begin to behave in a certain way, and that you needed to comport yourself differently than you were. You know, that word, that phrase really came from Nat King Cole and Irving Mills back in 1942 when they wrote this particular song. It was a great hit. And then the Andrews Sisters got hold of it and was also a hit for them as well. So you better straighten up and fly right. And how fitting it is that that term still resonates today. It seems sometimes that God, in his infinite wisdom, sometimes has to remind his children that sometimes you and I need to straighten up and fly right. Maybe we're not being the light that he has called us to be. Maybe we're no longer the salt of the earth, where people are thirsty and we make a difference because of our presence. But God is still looking for a people whom he can use. This book of Jonah is an interesting book because oftentimes we get caught up in Jonah being in the belly of a great fish. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's much more to this man named Jonah other than swimming in the belly of a fish. It's only about 43 verses, but yet God asked 14 questions. 11 of them are directed to Jonah. We find and we talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God, a second chance of God, the sovereignty of God, the prejudice that Jonah had. There's a whole lot to unpack in those 42 verses. Jonah. God was having this back and forth with Jonah. And that's what I like about it, because it showed his warts. It showed him as a very imperfect man. And like you and I, we take two steps forward in our walk, and yet we take two steps back. We do this strange kind of walk. And yet, God used him. Isn't it amazing how God still uses imperfect people to do his will and his bidding? You would think, if it were you and I, some of us would say, nope, pass, 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 okay. Pass, pass. But he's not like that. He is a gracious God. And as we look at Jonah, as we unpack some of Jonah, we'll see just how gracious God is. Because, see, Brother Man had a hard time reconciling how could God save people like the Ninevites. Jonah failed to look in the mirror at himself because he had some mess with him. But yet he did not want to see God's grace extended to the Ninevites. So what holy, helpful hints can we learn from this man named Jonah as we find ourselves going up the King's Highway? The first point is this. We see the repeated call. It's right there in the text. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Let me park here for a minute because this is important. I don't want to run by that too fast. First of all, the text says, and the word of the Lord came. You see that a lot in the Old Testament. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to this person or that person. The word of the Lord came to them. Beloved, the word of the Lord is still coming to those that are willing to trust him. We do not serve a silent God. He's very much alive and communicating with those who want to take time to listen unto him. The word of the Lord came. We're not getting the word of the Lord today too many places other than the church house. And if you are not careful, you may not find it there. But we find that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the Bible says, a second time. I'm glad that God does not give up on me the first time I miss it. He's a God, listen, I'm not even talking about second. I'm about in the thousands by now, chances. Second. It said he came to him a second time. Throughout Scripture, we see God giving folks another chance. Moses, another chance. David, here he counting folk. God then proved himself faithful time and again, and he's taking a census. Gad said, why are you going to count? They belong to you. He said, I don't care. Count them anyway. God has proven time and again that he can be trusted to give us a second, third, fourth, or fifth, or whenever he finishes chance. That ought to make us shout for joy that we have a God of another chance who does not give up on us because we may blow it. And believe me, all of us blow it. When we woke up this morning, we probably said some things to some folk we hadn't. Well, anyway, some of us did. But he gave him another chance, a repeated call. Listen, it tells us something else. That God has a calling on your life. If you remember in chapter 1, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah goes to Tarshish, almost 2,000 miles away. Now, brother man knew he was in trouble. How are you going to outrun God? So he flees. So God said, okay, baby, I got to teach you the hard way, so you got to go to school of hard knocks. Spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. See how you like that. He had to learn the hard way. God is saying, I have a call and a purpose on your life, and he is making it known and clear unto you. Here's the question. Are you going to listen to the voice of God as it relates to the call that he places on your life? Or you're going to sit there and ignore it and just do what you do? I heard you, but I got this. He said, well, fine. If you've got it, I'm a gentleman. You can have it your way. But know this, I'm not going to let you loose until you find yourself in my perfect will. That's what happens to Jonah. He tried to flee, but God came back. And see, beloved, this is where we see the character of God manifest itself. God is amazingly long-suffering toward us. That's just a big old word just to me. He's patient. He doesn't give up on us quickly. He does not quit on us speedily. Psalm 145 and 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Even in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:3, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We need to hold on to that. That God is incredibly gracious unto us. And don't believe the trick of the enemy that would have you believe that you've done something so bad, so wicked, so unforgiving that God cannot use you. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. If you've messed up, join the club. You'll be in good company with all the rest of us because we've all blown it. And listen, still are blowing it. Last I checked, when he died on Calvary, he died for past, present, and future sins. So we're still going to blow it. But just rest in the blessed assurance that God has not given up on me when I blow it. That I can trust in his graciousness, his long-suffering unto me. So it gives us reason to rejoice. It gives us reason to recognize that God is faithful and he never will take his hands off of me, regardless of how bad I mess up. And I got some mess up in me. Paul said, that which I would not do, I find myself doing. When I do good, evil is present with me. Oh, but we've got the cross of Jesus. We've got the blood that we can claim that Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all in the blood. It's a bloody book, but I love it because the blood redeemed us. The blood has set us free. We don't like to talk about the blood of the book, but this is a bloody book from Genesis through Revelation. But I'm glad the blood is flowing in it. Because in that blood there's forgiveness, in that blood there's hope, in that blood there's another chance. The blood of Christ gives us reason to rejoice. Listen, number two, we see the ready obedience, of Jonah. Remember the first time he fled? Now we see a different Jonah, don't we? Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Well, Jonah, what happened? You really want to know what happened? I didn't like smelling that stinky fish. And the Bible says he did some things. In the midst of his situation, the Bible says that Jonah remembered God. I don't want to only remember God when I'm dealing with the stinky fish smell in the belly of a fish. I want to remember God while I'm still clothed in my right mind. I want to remember God while I'm still sure-footed. I want to remember God when I'm still strong and have seeing in my eyes and hearing in my ears. I want to remember God when I can give him some service. I want to remember God in his precious promises. I want to remember God in terms of what he's done for me. I want to remember God. And then the Bible says he cried out to God. He went one further. He said, not only am I going to remember God, but I'm going to cry out to God. And beloved, the reason some of us have not cried out to God because we've not caught enough hell in our lives. Some of us are catching hell away from being able to praise God with the beauty of holiness. You would praise him like nobody was watching. You would not even care what people thought or think. Because God has been that good for you that I've got to praise him. I've got to lift my voice like a trumpet and say, Lord, I thank you. Listen, this thing is real. I know to the dignified, quiet folk, I'm sorry. But I'm just that kind of Negro that's loud. And I can't help it. I don't try to hide who I am. Who you see here? West Baltimore Street, that's it. I ain't trying to be polite and trying not to, look, I don't care no more. I'm in a different place. I've got to be true to who I am and celebrate how God has uniquely made me because nobody else is like Nick's. I'm an original and I'm loving it. Let me move. He said there was a ready obedience that he had. He was desperate. And when you find yourself in a desperate situation, you begin to listen to what God has said. His heart is now soft. His ears are now sensitive because he did not like the pain and discomfort that he felt in the belly of a fish. Jonah was obedient to what God said to do. Obedience to God means to hear, trust, submit, and surrender to the word of God. Deuteronomy 11, 26, 28. Obey and you will be blessed. Disobey and you will be cursed. Even Jesus talks about the significance and importance of living a life of obedience. And we're not talking about obedience according to the law, but gracious obedience, where he sees your heart is bent toward doing that which is pleasing to him. Thank God we're not under the law. We wouldn't have a chance. But thank God for his gracious obedience, that we somehow can still go to him in repentance and have God acknowledge us, forgive us, and we can move forward. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hold on to that. So here we have Jonah, a different kind of Jonah, who now remembered God and cried out to God. And something else we see, that he had a yes, Lord mentality. Every now and then you just have to say, yes, Lord. But I don't want to. Yes, Lord. But I don't know how it's going to work. Yes, Lord. But why I have to go there? But yes, Lord. Develop a yes, Lord mentality and watch God do some amazing things. I'm glad you asked. I want to show you. Look at the text. The text says in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. We see the grand result. Jonah did what God told him to do. Go to Nineveh and preach, and I'll tell you what to say. And listen, he had a timeline he was working with. 40 days. 3 days to get across to Nineveh. 40 days, I'm coming back if things are not right. Jonah preached in such a way that the people's hearts were changed. They believed Jonah's God because of the proclamation of the gospel. I believe there had to be a sense of urgency in the voice of Jonah because there was a lot at stake. Folks were going to die. He was going to wipe out Nineveh. But Jonah proclaimed the word, and the people messed around and got, they turned. Their hearts were changed. There was some repentance. Listen, God wants to use your voice, your background, your knowledge, your uniqueness to reach some people who are around you who know not of your Jesus. See, the mistake we make in Western culture is that we think the preacher, the pastor, the deacons are the ones who are responsible for winning the lost. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, there are vessels that he used to win, absolutely. But listen, sheep beget sheep. Let me repeat that, because I want to get all the folk who think that, well, you know, we ain't growing because of preachers. No, baby, don't rest it there. It is sheep who win sheep. All those folk who you work around, who you live with, them children under your roof, all of that, who are not here, who belong here. If they're living in your house. I mean, if they're not with your house, you ain't got much control over that. But if they sleeping in your bed, sucking up your heat and your air, putting their feet under your table, drinking all of what you got, you getting your behind where we go. This is how we do it in this house. As for me, in this house, we will serve the Lord. Y'all looking at me like y'all don't believe this. Those are just some foundational things. We have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, you may not know every book from Genesis through, you don't have to. But I tell you what you do know what God has done in your life. You do know how he's opened doors for you. You do know how he's kept you safe. You do know how he's provided for you. You do know how he's still opening doors for you. There's some things that you already know. And those are the things that folk who don't know our Jesus need to know. And they need to see it reflected in our lives. Another piece of obedience is to be faithful. To trust. We have a responsibility, beloved. And I don't know what, whatever he was saying, it was hitting. He wasn't just saying something because he had to get up and speak. He had a burden on his heart that he had to get off of him. And so it is with us. We ought to have a burden because folks are dying and going to hell. They're going, Gracie. Don't know our Lord. And how sad it is. We know these folk. Live with them. The bridge is out, and we just watching them walk along. Let me move. Second thing they did was the people cried out. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. They cried mightily to God. This was no mealy mouth prayer. No. The Bible says they cried out. That there was some emotion attached to this cry. Okay. They're not playing this week, but whenever they play again, it's going to be thousands of people. When I watch from TV, because I don't have no season tickets, when I watch them play, and there's an amazing play, I seldom see people. Oh, that was nice. Yeah, Ravens, y'all doing pretty good. You see that throw, Flacco? Are you kidding me? You just paid $500, whatever. You giving some voice to it because it's important to you. Why is it that when we look at what God is doing in our lives, that we're not willing to cry out unto him? Okay, let me share this with you. And one way you can get used to crying out so that when you come to corporate worship, it won't be so hard. Practice at home. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. I mean, if I'm going to raise my voice like a trumpet here, I'm raising my voice like a trumpet on my private time at home. So that when I get here, I'm able to just rejoice out of the abundance of what the Lord is doing, that I can't keep it in. I've got to be able to release this. I'm all in. I've got to, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, cry out unto you. As you pray, just try starting to pray aloud. We often had a, you know, quiet prayer. That's not quiet prayer, good. But sometime, Lord, we thank you for this day. What a joy it is to worship you in spirit. Just start praying out loud so that the next thing you know, something may start to happen. The Holy Spirit is welcomed when you and I are in alignment with him. It's amazing how he, you forget about what you do. You just say, Lord, thank you. And however you want me to praise you, is I'm satisfied with it. If you want me to be loud, Lord, I'll be loud. I'll cry unto you. I'm always amazed watching the Wailing Wall. And have you ever seen at the Wailing Wall when they sit there and they go, they not sit there, they standing at the Wailing Wall and they go back and forth as they pray? They're going back and forth. They're not trying to get an audience. No, it is the intensity at what they are doing that it gives reason for them to move back and forth. Look at it on, check it out on YouTube. I'm not kidding. They really are into what they are doing because they are that filled with, Lord, I want to connect with you. I don't care who's with me. I don't care who's watching me. I just want to, you to know that I'm serious about crying out unto you. I'm serious about my prayer getting through to you. And I know for some folk, you know, my educated folk, you know, they, man, it don't take all of that. Okay, fine. But listen, I know what works for me. And if that works for you, do you. But as long as I got breath in my body, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift my voice like a trumpet unto him because God is good. That's right, all the time. God is good. Peter, when he was sinking, he said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And the Bible says the Lord responded. He saved him. See, there's something to this crying out. We minimize it. We don't like to deal with it. But man begging on the road, Lord, have mercy upon me. And the Lord, you shall be made whole. I mean, there's something about my urgency, my pain, that seems to have God says, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Oh, my Lord. So cry out to him. Practice just. And keep a journal. You know, I'm going to see what this man talking about. And I'm going to try this thing. Lord, it's awkward. I don't want to do it, but it must be something to it because it's all in your word that the people cried out and things happened. So I'm pretty desperate right now. Things are pretty bad, and I'm going to trust you. So I'm going to pray aloud. And if I start crying out, I'll just rejoice and give you the glory for what you do. The last thing is this. They discovered mercy. Jonah was preaching. The people, hearts changed. Look what it says in verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't that interesting? It talks about works. He's talking about the violence, the wickedness that they had displayed. They were now no longer practicing. Their hearts had changed, had turned. Isn't that amazing? When you do what God has called you to do, and you trust him for the outcome, God can do some amazing things. What is it that you're not trusting him with in your life? What is it that the enemy has told you it won't work, it won't make a difference? Isn't that something? And then it said they put on sackcloth and got in ashes. And then it was real interesting. He said, they even put the sackcloth on the animals. I'm like, wow, that took some work. I mean, they were serious about this thing. They had animals repenting, and I mean, everybody was getting right with God. And God saw that, which means that when God sees that our heart is turning toward doing that which honors him, expect God to show up in a great and grand way. He showed up. That's just amazing. And for 150 years, the Ninevites did what they were supposed to do. When you look at the book of Nahum, you begin to see that they slipped back into their old ways, and, well, judgment was postponed for 150 years. But the fact is, they were doing right. Their hearts were changed. And I tell you, the mercy of God is amazing. God holds back giving us what we deserve. Deserve hell, damnation. But Jesus Christ, God through his son Jesus Christ, saw our predicament. I said, I can't leave him like that. You got to go down. You got to have spend some time on the tree. I'm going to come back and get you, but for right now, you've got to redeem a fallen and sinful mankind. God's mercy showed up. God's mercy is still showing up for those who repent, those who turn from their ways and are saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this situation. I'm going to trust you with this circumstance. The Bible says, and I think it's Psalm 103, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our sins and our transgressions. His mercies are new every morning. In Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God gives us the mercy we need for whatever comes our way. Jonah was used by God in a mighty way. Jonah was able to straighten up and fly right and usher scores of people into a relationship with God. But he still was a man who was conflicted, because in verse 4, and I'm going to sit down, Jonah was mad because God saved the people of Nineveh. I mean, he did what God told him to do. And yet, he still was angry. Said, Lord, kill me. I don't even want to. I knew you was going to be gracious to them. 2 steps forward and then 2 steps back. Which means that we always have to continue to be in a posture of, Lord, help me daily to straighten up and fly right. Because if I'm left to my own devices, I'll have some stinking thinking and I won't want to see anybody get well from anything. The book does not even end on a good note. Check this out, and I'm sitting down. I'm serious. When you look at chapter 4, verse 11, this is God talking to Jonah. He said, now should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between the right hand and their left, as much as livestock? You see that? This book didn't even end on a good note. You know why? It's open-ended. We don't know what happened. Well, we do. 150 years later, they went back to misbehaving. But Jonah, he's one of those folks you want to get to heaven and say, bro, what'd you do after that? Because you just kind of left me there. I don't know what you did. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the finished work of Christ on the cross that makes it possible for us to straighten up and fly right, to be used by you. Give us a boldness, Lord, that we not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have a heart to share it with a dying world, relatives, friends, co-workers who are lost and facing eternal separation from you, Lord. Help us have a Jonah spirit of at least wanting to share the gospel, that others might have a right to the tree of life. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.